So once again, Merry Christmas. And welcome to Holy Family Parish, especially to all of our visitors, our families, our guests. If this is your first time with us, welcome. And as I said, we are here every week. So if you're in town, we'd love to have you back. Especially next week is our patronal feast day, Holy Family Parish. Next Sunday is the Feast of Holy Family. And so we'll be celebrating the saints that Mother Church has given us as our models and protectors. So please come back and celebrate with us next weekend. But why are y'all here? I mean, we had Mass last week, and it was nowhere near this crowded, nowhere near this full. And I do assume that it won't be this full next weekend. So what brought you here this evening, this afternoon? It can't be just because we have to go to Mass on Christmas, because we have to go to Mass on Sunday. So what is it? I hope at some point this afternoon, this evening, and tomorrow, as we really enter into this celebration, this world-changing event, that you take some moments of quiet. Maybe you can spend some time after Mass as we spend some time in front of our manger scene and really ask, why did I come this evening? Why am I here? Did my mom and dad make me? Did my girlfriend's parents make me? Am I trying to impress my girlfriend's parents? Is it this what I need to do on Christmas? Because it's what we always do on Christmas. What is it? I really invite you to ask that question and then to give God time to answer. Because we heard this nice long gospel. And we had the same reading in the daily Mass a couple of days ago, and I was hoping the deacon was going to show up. So I'm glad Deacon Mike was here today to read those names. The hardest part about that reading is that you have to say each name twice. So whatever you need to say the first time, you have to remember it to say it the second time. But why? What's the point? Why do we have to go through that long list? Especially today, I think it's important to hear that list because there's so many misconceptions about who Jesus is and what this whole life of faith is about. That he's just some kind of spiritual thing that we're going to try to be like. That this guy was living at some point and he gave us some good ideas of how to be nice to each other. But from that first reading and the prophets, the prophecy to that gospel, this is a real historical event that God chose these people who are living in this obscure place to be his chosen people. He chose his people to reveal himself to, not because they were special, not because they did any amazing or extravagant things, because if you go back to that list of names we heard, there are some pretty bad people there. Prostitutes, murderers, idolaters and unfaithful. Everything you can imagine is in that list. And these are the people that's connected to Jesus directly through his lineage. But God came into a real family at a real time, and he did some real, real work in the lives of the people. And we're here today, 2,000 years later, remembering that event. But if we know the story, we know that not everybody recognized it. There weren't this many people in the stable of Bethlehem. The people who had been awaiting the promise, the people who were looking forward to the Messiah coming, and they missed it the first time. And when we know the story of Jesus, so many other people missed him throughout his life, even to the point of his death. So many people didn't realize who was there, who he is. And so this is why it's so important for us to ask ourselves, why are we here this evening? What do we come for? What are we looking for? Because I can give you the answer, but it won't mean anything to you unless you allow Jesus to tell you. We know the story of creation, the story of salvation history. We go back to the garden And because God is so full of love, he wanted to share this love, so he created Adam and Eve. And they lived in perfect and total communion. They walked face to face. They had a conversation. They were living in harmony. But then the serpent came and disrupted that communion. And there was separation. Sin entered into history. But from that moment, the very first words we hear God speak after that is, "Where are you?" Adam and Eve went to hide because they were embarrassed, they were ashamed, they felt guilty. And the first words of the Father to them was, "Where are you?" He asks you that same question every time you turn your back from him. Where are you? Not that he doesn't know, but he asks that so as an invitation to come back. Where are you? We were together. What happened? Please come back. And all of salvation history, all of the Old Testament, every prophecy we read, every judge that's appointed, every priest that's appointed is there as a means, as an opportunity, as an invitation to come back. Until the fullness of time, St. Paul tells us in Galatians, the fullness of time, God was born, became man, born of a woman. And this is what we're celebrating today. Because you were created by God, for God, with love, for love. And there's a yearning in your heart that you need to be with God. And just like all those names in that list, so many times we have been unfaithful to who we've been created for. So many times we listen to the lies of the world about what it means to be a human person. We've listened to the lies about what it means, what it takes to make me happy, to satisfy me, to fulfill me. The lies of the world about what it means to be successful. So many lies we are bombarded with daily that we forget who we are and we don't know where we are. And this day we celebrate when Christ came to invite each one of you back home, to invite each one of you into a relationship, a lifelong relationship of communion with the Father. That little voice you hear when you sit in silence, the little voice you hear when you're sitting all alone, the voice you hear when you know you've made a wrong choice, the voice you hear when you're trying your hardest and it never kind of works out, that voice that tells you there's more, the voice that tells you to keep trying, that's God. Just like in the garden saying, "Where are you?" God didn't move. God didn't leave. He's still crawling out to each one of you. And he's coming as a baby so that you can't be afraid. So you have no reason not to approach him. All throughout the scriptures, they say it's the most common phrase, or 365 times we read something about do not be afraid. But all throughout this story of the incarnation, when the angel appeared to Joseph, we heard, do not be afraid. When the angel appeared to Mary, do not be afraid. And tonight when we hear the readings about the shepherd and the angel appears to the shepherd, do not be afraid. The only reason the angel says that is because they were afraid. The church, Jesus, the angels telling you today, do not be afraid. It's kind of normal, we can say. It's almost a natural response to be afraid of this invitation to say yes to Jesus. Do not be afraid. The reason you are here is because you know that you need Jesus in your life. You know that your life is empty and meaningless and complete a waste without Jesus. But the lie of the evil one will allow you to live a certain type of success in the world so you don't really come in touch with that failure, with that emptiness, with that waste. But again, when you sit in silence, when you sit alone, listen to your heart. Listen to the Father calling out to you, where are you? You know, I wasn't always a priest. I've only been a priest 4 years. I spent a lot of time in my life, almost all of my 20s, making some pretty stupid choices because I didn't listen to that voice. I tried to drown it out. I allowed the world to tell me what was going to make me happy, what was going to make me a success, what was going to fulfill me. And I bought all the lies. And I wasn't a success, and I wasn't fulfilled. I was empty, and I was mad, and I was bitter, and I was afraid, and I wanted to control everything. I wanted things my way. I was focused on me. Everything was about me. But just like Jesus knocked on the world's door, he knocked on my door one night. And I said yes. And it's been the best decision I ever made. I mean, I was raised in the faith. I knew the truth. But I didn't believe it. But something happened. God never gave up. God kept calling out to me. The same way he's calling out to each one of you. God loves you. And nothing you have ever done or will do will ever change that. You are made for him. He died, and he rose again so that you could have eternal life. He died and rose again so that you could become what he created you to be, so that you don't have to be a slave to the lies of the world. He is a real person. We heard his genealogy. We're going to hear his story of his life as we continue through the gospel. That this man who lived 2,000 years ago is still alive today, and he wants to be alive in you. So whether this is your first time with us ever, maybe you're not Catholic, maybe you think you're an atheist, maybe you practice some other type of spirituality or some other kind of Christian practice, welcome. Because God didn't come to his people just once 2,000 years ago. Every time we celebrate the Holy Mass, that same easy to forget, easy to miss God comes present among us in the Holy Eucharist. Why do we have this golden box here? Why do we have this building here? Because Jesus is here. He comes to us. When we have the words of consecration, that bread and that wine will be no more. Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity will be here with us. And if you are in this state of grace, if you are Catholic and you're in a state of grace, meaning you go to Mass regularly, you've gone to confession recently, and you live according to the teachings of the church, God will feed you with his body and blood today. And you will have life everlasting, the life that you were created for. This is an amazing day in the life of the world and our history, but for each one of you. The world changed 2,000 years ago. Your world can change today. Do not be afraid. Allow God to speak to you. Say yes to this invitation. Say yes to life. Amen.